Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Monday, the 1st of February, 2021. It is a massive Sunday. Well, there was only 9 games, but there was lots of exciting stuff to talk about. I'm your host, Mr. Jolly of Sydney, and my partner, the other host, is, of course, Scotty Harlander. He's a.k.a. the Harlander23 on Twitter, H-A-R-Lander23 on Hitter. On Twitter, he's the Hitter on Twitter. He is a scary man normally if you are in any leagues that he commissions. And by the way, if you've got questions, commission a corner, you've got people in your league who are doing funny business or you've got arguments or something, he's the man to hit up because he commissions probably about 30 leagues across all the major league sports. Go and give him a follow. You can follow me, Mr. Jolly of Sydney. That is who I am with a name like that. What else could I be? Speaking of Jolly, my guest today is a very jolly man as well. He is Hank Aaron Twitter. He owns Twitter. That's why he's so jolly. He is Hank Aaron 26 on Twitter. I will get something right to start off the show. Hank, how are you?
Excellent, Mr. Jolly. How are you?
Mate, I am fucking great. Pardon. I am really great. Let's just say that. The reason I'm great is because Malik Monk hit 9 threes, and I tell you what, I love a good comeback story. Is there any truth to the rumor that they've PED tested him right after the game?
Let's hope not. Let's hope not for his sake.
I tell you what, he might as well. He was, if he wasn't on performance enhancing something, he was definitely on pure nitrous oxide gas or something. Wow, pretty amazing. Now, first question of the day, though, is he a go out and add guy as long as Terry Rozier is out?
He's worth streaming. He's had big games in the past. He's never had the consistency. Rozier only has a minor injury for my understanding so far. So if you want to spot start him for a game or two, if Rozier is ruled out, go ahead. But don't expect much long term.
Okay, that is good to know. Well, why don't we just jump into it? We've got 9 games to get through today. It was a pretty massive slate. The first game on that slate was the Los Angeles Lakers running out 107-99 point winners over the Atlanta Hawks. And for the Lakers, LeBron James had a big game. He had 21 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 5 of 12 from the field, 2 of 6 from deep, and 9 of 11 from the field. Anthony Davis, 25, 2 and 2 with a steal and 3 blocks, rounding into first round kind of form if you can keep that up. 10 for 14 from the field, that field goal percentage you love. Dennis Schroeder, 16, 3 and 3 with a steal on 6 for 10 shooting. Schroeder dropped in a lot of places. If you see him around on a wire, do you grab him or not?
I grab him. He gives you some points, some assists. He's a borderline guy in 12-team league, but the categories he gives you, the scoring, the assists, they're hard to find, and he's worth rolling with.
Yeah, those points and assists off the wire, as you mentioned, can be tough. Caldwell Pope had 11 and 2 assists, yet 3 three-pointers. If you need a 3-point streamer, he's usually around on a lot of wires. Marc Gasol, another one of these weird games where he had just 2 points, but he did have 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal and 1 block. He remains a decent blocks and center assists streamer. Montrezl Harrell had 19 and 3 with 2 steals. Now, Harrell, he's an odd one, isn't he? Is he a 12-team definite hold?
I think so. I mean, he's towards the bottom end of it, but I'm holding him in most 12-team leagues, especially as the wire is not that deep right now. So I think he's definitely worth holding in 12-team leagues, but more of a bottom-of-your-bench kind of guy.
And also, shout out to the people who play points leagues. I've got him in a points league. That's the only league I have him in at all my 16-odd leagues or whatever. I'm holding him there because I figure that in, like, April and early May, when my head-to-head points league playoffs are on, which I'm definitely going to qualify, but if anyone from those leagues is listening, I'm going to be in there, like Errol Flynn, as we say. We expect, I reckon, at that point, LeBron and AD not playing back-to-backs and Harrell's value in points leagues really goes up when one of those guys is out. Is that a fair estimation?
I agree with that. I think that's a good analysis, and I think that, and not just in points leagues, even in category leagues, at the end of the season, there's our own speculation, but we figure that AD and LeBron will be rested a little bit, which would give Harrell some more bump in his stats.
And there's a few teams in that sort of situation. We're looking at good teams with, like, big stars who've either had injury problems or are a little bit older. If you see those sort of guys floating around, because obviously opportunity is probably in some ways the biggest ability. Another example right now is Terry Ross. We'll get to him a bit later. He's just got a lot of opportunity opened up because Aaron Gordon is injured and looks like he's going to miss 3 or 4 weeks or something. So those are things to sort of look out for, obviously, as you move along. Some of that stuff is immediate, like the Terry Ross situation, and other stuff is more sort of like looking a bit into the future. For the Atlanta Hawks, speaking of the future, Trae Young is the future, and he is also the now. He had 25, 4, and 16 assists, gee. I've got him in a roto league and a couple of points leagues, and he was just massive today. That is nice. 7-15 from the field, just hit 1 3-pointer, and he was 10-11 from the foul line. Back to how he started off the season. Remember, I think we were talking about this at one point. He was averaging 13-14 from the foul line through the first 5 games, and he seems to have got his mojo back getting over that injury.
Yeah, I think he's back into shape, and there was a buy low window for a few weeks on Trae Young, but I think that thing is closing now. So you may still be able to get him, but he's a good guy to be in the top 20, good bet to be in the top 20, and he's got the possibility to be even higher than that.
Yeah,
so,
well, yeah, very true. Over the last 2 weeks, he is, I think he's ranked 7th in the last 2 weeks now. I drafted him around about pick, I either got him at either pick 8, 9 or 10 in the leagues where I took him. I think I took him a bit earlier in a points league, so you want him to end up around there, but those assists, that is really nice. That, you know, a couple of games like that in a week and you win the assist category. John Collins had 22 points and 7 rebounds and not a lot else. 10 for 17 from the field, though. You like that in a couple of threes. Kevin Huerter had 10, 4 and 3 on 3 for 8 shooting. Not huge volume there. Reddish had... he had just 6, 1, and 3 on 3 for 8 shooting. And I've talked about this a little bit before. Like Gallinari had 19 minutes, but just 6 points. It's a little bit messy, isn't it, outside of John Collins and Capella and Trae Young. Capella had 16 and 13, by the way, which you love, and 3 blocks.
Exactly. It's very difficult to pull value out of the rest of the guys. Huerter, Reddish, even Gallinari. If somebody's injured and one of them is getting more minutes, you know, they can be used, but Huerter's probably the best of the bunch, but they're all kind of on the fringe or outside of the 12-team, you know, radar.
Mm. The next game on the slate was the Charlotte Hornets in a thriller against Miami. They won 129-121. I think Malik Monk hit a 3-pointer to send it to overtime, and he was just absolutely smoking the Monkster. I think, as I mentioned, he hit 9 threes. He had 36, 5 and 2. That's the best game of his career. He played 39 minutes as well. Just absolutely massive. And he maybe just a stream for the next game if you've got like a team where you've had injuries and you've lost a lot of guys and you want to speculate, or is it just not worth it?
He's fine for one game, but Rozier has to be out too. So if Rozier is out, you can give him a shot, but that may have been a career high tonight. I'm assuming it is. And in the past, he's had big games before, but he's never, you know, strung them together consistently.
I mean, last season, he was on a burn before he got, pardon the pun, before he got done for the drug stuff. And, you know, like, congratulations to him for coming back from that too. You know, I made light of it before, but obviously, you know, overcoming addiction and stuff like that and getting yourself back together and pulling off a game like this is just great for him, because he's still quite a young player as well. And he was a high draft pick as well, so, and he's obviously got skills. I watched quite a lot of Charlotte last season because I'm a big fan of Devontae Graham. I picked him up off the wire in a few points leagues, so I just was exciting to watch them. And he was really playing really well too, like going coast to coast with his, you know, getting to the bucket, either shooting threes or getting right to the bucket. Like he plays the modern style of game. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and it's good news for him. But the other thing is, of course, they've got LaMelo Ball as well as Graham and Rozier. This is probably not going to be enough minutes there. Although PJ Washington will miss some time. He just played 24 minutes today, hurt his ankle. He had 6, 7, and 3 with 2 steals and a block. We'll have to wait and see what happens with that. LaMelo Ball had 14, 5, and 7 in his first start in his NBA career. What do you make of this? He was 3 for 11 from the field. It's still, even though he's probably been better than what people thought he would be, faster, there's still going to be these up and downs with the shooting, isn't there?
That's correct. And his percentages are so far, it's the biggest drag on his value. And it's likely something that's going to continue for the rest of the year. So the counting stats will be good, but the percentage will be a negative.
Yeah, you can't complain about those 7 assists. Cody Zeller, speaking of spot PED tests, 19, 12, and 2 with 1 steal and 2 blocks for Cody. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and Cody's one of those guys that does that, and he's been doing it for years. So, you know, he's up to his old tricks, you could say, and he's probably going to continue doing that. So he'll mix in some big games with some bad games. Overall, it's going to be probably around top 150 to 200 value. So if you're in a 12, 14, 16 team league, you could use him, but don't expect any kind of consistency. And in a 12 team league, you gotta aim for more.
Yeah, and I'm not rushing out to grab him. And obviously, this is elevated. He played 39 minutes today because of the overtime and also the fact that PJ was injured and only played those 24 minutes for the Miami Heat. Some interesting stuff here. Jimmy Butler. In his second game back, he had 25, 9, 5, and 4 steals. I just did a trade for Jimmy yesterday in a 24-team, 9-category dynasty league. I traded away McCall Bridges and some other pieces for Jimmy Butler. I had to give up a first-round pick, although it'd probably only be like more like a pick swap. It probably cost me 10 picks in next year's draft. But you're very happy with this. And look, what do we think about Jimmy the rest of the season? Contrary to what I was talking about before with the Lakers, because Miami have started off so bad, I wonder if they're going to be balling out towards the end of the season to get into a better position in the playoffs, and maybe Jimmy is one of those assets who might not rest that much towards that part of the season.
Yeah, and I don't think he will, and I think also with the Lakers, LeBron is someone that so far seems like he's been resisting resting as well. Over the past few years, so I'm not sure he would do it either. But AD, I think, is a good bet to rest. Butler is also someone that doesn't seem like he wants to rest, and he won't if he can help it. So, you know, these are players that unless the team is locked into a slot, or I mean, they probably won't be even care about home court. But maybe if they care about who they're facing for seeding purposes. But yeah, Butler's gonna play, and I think a lot of players. Kevin Durant's gonna rest. Anybody who's a star, anybody who's won a championship, right? You know, anybody who's been there before, and they're just going to say, hey, I don't need to, you know, they're coming back from the injury and all that. So I think there's a handful of guys. Jimmy Butler doesn't exactly fit the mold. He likes to play through the injury. So I wouldn't count on him resting unless they're really locked in and the coaching staff is insistent on it.
Miami's a fun team to watch, and they got lots of fun players. It'll be really interesting to see how they back up in the playoffs this season. I think people will probably end up sleeping on them because a lot of teams in the East, some of the key teams in the East, have improved a lot. But they've got some great players like Bam Adebayo. He had 39 minutes, 23, 9 and 2 with 3 blocks. Tyler Herro, he's been out for a while with that neck injury. This is, I think, his second game back only. But he had a poor shooting night, 3 for 10 shooting. Hit 3 3-pointers, though, and he had 11, 3 and 8 assists as well as a steal. Dunk Robinson does what he does. He had 16 points with 4 3-pointers. Kelly Olynyk had 11 and 7 with a block and 3 3-pointers, which I like because I streamed him in a couple of places and I've held on to him. Andre Iguodala had 9, 4 and 5, and Goran Dragic had 3 points, 7 rebounds and 8 assists. Anybody there that you like to hold as a sort of a long stream? Olynyk, what's your view on him? Goran Dragic dropped in a lot of places. Is he a guy you pick up if you need, if you see him having a 4-game week, and is the opportunity there or only with injuries?
Really, it's in a 12-team league, Dragic is probably off the radar. But if you've got 4 games, you're desperate for a point guard, you could use him. You know, you could use Olynyk. He's got a little bit more consistent value this year than Dragic does. But Olynyk is the same kind of player. These guys are, if you're in a head-to-head league and you have a playoff, you got to start prepping your team for those playoffs, and you want higher upside guys than Olynyk and Dragic. So these guys can be used if you need a live body for a few games, but neither one of them should be relied on long term.
It's funny, just dropping back to Zeller for a moment, I'm just seeing Dan Bespris's tweet about in his tweet storm that he's doing over in Twitter. You should check those out, by the way, if you haven't before. He says, Cody Zeller played well and the PJ Washington injury helped him staying hot. Ride the Zeller train while he's hot, but be warned, it all comes apart every time. We've seen this movie many times before. So there's some agreement with you for sure. The next game on the slate was a very interesting game, which saw, I'll get to it in a moment, the Minnesota Timberwolves up against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and they just didn't quite do enough to win the game. They lost by 98 points to 100 against the Cavaliers. Interesting game. Did you catch any of this one?
I did not, but I see that it was close. I've been trying to get a little bit more view on Anthony Edwards, see how he's playing. Looks like he had a decent game in real life, not a good game for fantasy. But have you been watching him?
Yeah, so I've seen a little bit of it. He's had two good games, two 20-point-plus games. I do like the Timberwolves. I got a soft spot for D'Angelo Russell, even though he doesn't play defense. He had 18, 2-4 today, D'Lo, on 7 for 19 shooting. That shooting can hurt you. Edwards, as the aforementioned, he had 13, 3-2 with a steal. Nice to see him getting a defensive cat because there's a lot of donuts there sometimes. 5 of 12 from the field, which is okay, given what, you know, he's shooting under 40% on the season. He's had two good games in a row. Dan was all about stashing him, saying, and he had 32 minutes today, saying, if you've got a guy, he's a number one draft pick, he's now playing 30 minutes, he's in the starting lineup, and, you know, when Cat comes back, that's probably not going to hurt him. So it's worth a stash and just hang on and see how it goes. And that's what I'm doing in a few leagues. He does have a smooth-looking jumper. It doesn't look rough. So I don't know. I think maybe, given how many people were saying that he was almost certainly going to be a bust, you can be reasonably happy if you drafted him right at the end of your draft in your last round and you held on, or you picked him up off the waiver wire.
Well, I think he you could stash him this year, but I don't think he's going to be much more than a late round value if he even gets that high. So I don't like him necessarily to put it together for this season. But I don't know about him being a bust and all that. So let's let him play a little bit. But in terms of fantasy 12-team value, I don't think he'll be a big difference maker this season.
And the big story for the Cleveland Cavaliers was Jarrett Allen playing 34 and a half minutes. He had 23 and 18 with 1 steal and 5 blocks. That just tells you what he will do if he can play those kind of minutes. And we haven't really seen that very much. There was a few games for the Nets where he had really big minutes and had huge lines, but this is probably one of the biggest, if not biggest, lines we've ever had. Basically, it's a 20 and 20 game. It's like a Clint Capella-style line, on just as well efficient on 7 for 9 shooting, and he was 9 for 14 at the line. The foul shooting is not great, like a lot of those big men, but There was no Andre Drummond today. He was out, and of course, no Larry Nance. If Drummond gets traded away, then now again, looking towards the end of the season, if Drummond gets traded away at the deadline, then Jarrett Allen just absolutely balls out for the end of the season, doesn't he?
Yeah, it would give a huge boost to his value. I really like Allen. I like him even. I was trying to trade for him last night, so obviously I'm not going to get him now. But I like him. I think even with Drummond there, he's a sneaky guy to have as a low-end big. And he's got a lot of upside if Drummond gets traded. So definitely, you know, worth owning and worth targeting in a trade. Not tonight. You're not going to get him tonight. You're not going to get him tomorrow. But wait for Drummond to come back and see if you could get him a little bit cheaper.
Now, I tell you what, I want to pin a garland on my shirt and walk around town showing off today because I got Darius Garland in a couple of leagues and one of the best late-round draft picks this season. He had 38 minutes. He had 19, 3 rebounds, 11 assists, 9 for 18 from the field where he was very efficient. And, gee, just very happy to see him back. I held, obviously, in roto leagues with no IR, it's hurting when you have a guy like that who's been out for quite a while and now he's back and it's just great to see. Colin Sexton had 26, 3 and 3, continuing his great run this season. Okoro played 32 minutes, but he was quiet. He just had 4 points, a rebound, an assist, a steal and a block. Lots of ones in there. Chetty Osman, we talked about him a few times, didn't we? He had 10, 7, 2 and 2 with 2 3-pointers. Somehow he just hangs on to having value.
Yeah, he contributes across the board. He usually has these ugly percentages. Didn't shoot any free throws tonight, but 4 of 12 from the field. So he gives you points, assists. He didn't get any blocks tonight. He had 2 steals. So again, he's the guy you can pop into your lineup, but they're not consistent enough as a strong 12 team asset.
Speaking of strong 12 team assets, there's a few in the next read. One of them is Quickly, who plays for the New York Knicks. It'll come out of me. Quickly, find where you go. What are you doing, Aaron? You've lost your train of thought again. You've lost your caboose of thought, as my my math teacher used to say. You don't have a train of thought, Jolly. Your mind is in the gutter. You've got a caboose of thought. a caboose is, of course, the jail carriage at the end of the train for the younger people who might not know what a caboose is. But there we go. The Knicks, they have been much better this season, although I think they've lost 3 games in a row while still playing okay. And they are now, I think, 4 games under 500 again after being above for a while there. They lost to the Chicago Bulls 110 to 102 points. And for the Knicks, Julius Randle just keeps on keeping on. 39 minutes, those huge minutes. I think he's in the top few in the league. Maybe I think only Sabonis has more minutes than him per game. He had 23, 11, and 7 with 2 steals, continuing to provide top 5 or 6 value in points leagues. Just amazing. RJ Barrett had 14 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 7 for 17. The shooting not great. I was talking about him yesterday, and I know I've asked you about him before, and you're not a fan, but pretty huge improvement. Last season, he was outside the top 300. This season, he's inside the top 120. Prior to today, he was inside the top 75 in the last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks. Huge improvement, but still not grabbing him if you see him on a wire?
I don't, just because he hurts both of the percentages. He's not a good turnover player. He doesn't deliver much in terms of defensive stats. I like players who have points for trade value, but I would try to, if I grab them off the wire, it'd be more with the idea of trading him later on. Because if his, you know, points per game is around 20, you'll be able to find a taker. You'll be able to package him up in a 2-for-1. You may be able to use him to buy a struggling player. So he has carries some value because of his points, but overall, as a 9 category player, it's the full package isn't there to get him above the top 120.
Now, Quickly, as I talked about before, now he's a guy I've grabbed in a few spots. He's now had 3 games over 25 points in his last 5, and today he had 16 points, 6 rebounds, and 7 assists. So he's had 4 top 50 type value games out of his last 5 games.
Yes, I'm all over him. I recommend him as an ad if he's available. I missed the boat on him earlier this season, right? He had a few good games, and I was really tempted to grab him. I didn't. Luckily, he had some bad games, so he kind of ended up staying on the wire, getting dropped, and now I've snatched him everywhere. If he's still available in your league, you got to add him.
Yeah, absolutely must add.
Too much upside.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a microwave scorer. He no steals and blocks. He doesn't get the defensive stuff, but the points, rebounds are there. The assists are there in some games, and he hits his three throws pretty well, and he hits three pointers as well. And he's not afraid to shoot him. He took 7 in this game, 2 for 7 from the field. The other thing to watch, of course, is the minutes mix between him and Burks and Payton. Burks had 28 minutes. He had 18 points, a rebound, assist, and 2 steals. And he's a guy that if you see him on a wire, you grab him and pick him up because it looks like Payton is the one to miss out. He had just 18 minutes today. That's a couple of games in a row with less minutes. And he had just 5 points and 2 rebounds on only 5 shots. Now, Mitchell Robinson only played 20 minutes. He had 9, 8, and 1. Nerlens Noel had 8 and 7 with 5 blocks in 27 minutes. Now, it was last week, I think, we talked about this, and I stashed Noel on leagues where you've weekly leagues where I can put him in a bench spot and I don't actually need to use him in case Robinson got injured or something or something happened like this. If they play even minutes even, like, you know, 24-24, then Noel has value, doesn't he? Even 20 minutes.
Even 20 minutes, Noel can be used. In a 12-team league. I picked him up last year. I think he was playing about 20 minutes. His ability to rack up blocks and steals in very little time. He's gonna, if you're in a 9-category league, it's going to be very little turnovers. His percentages are good. His free throw shooting was pretty good last year. This year it's much lower, but there's a very small sample size there. So if he could get back up to 75% free throw shooting, his defensive stats are great. You know, he's not going to score a bunch, but he could also get a bunch of rebounds in that short amount of time. So definitely worth holding. If you have an open spot in a 12-team league, I like him more than a lot of other guys that you could add.
Now, the guy I reckon is probably the best add in all of basketball right now because he combines being available in a lot of places with just stuffing multiple categories. He plays for the Chicago Bulls. Who do you think I'm talking about?
As an add? Thaddeus Young.
Yeah. I was just joking on a thread with the lads in one of the leagues I play in saying, he's the best young big man in the NBA. And someone said, he's not young. And I was like, he's Thaddeus Young. So he had 13, 8, and 8 with 1 steal and a block. He had a 3-pointer as well. He doesn't get to the foul line that much anymore, but those rebound and assists are just great, aren't they?
Yeah, he's a good guy to stream right now. He's hot. I was talking to someone last night about adding him. My opponent for the week ended up adding him, and I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, well, if they play 4 games, he might end up getting, like, I don't know, 60 points and, you know, 35 rebounds and 32 assists or something. I think he had, like, basically a triple-double almost in his last game as well. He is really hot right now, and he's providing top 50 value in 9-category at the moment and pretty huge value in points leagues as well. Zach LaVine is a guy who provides value in all kinds of leagues. He had 21, 5, and 3 with a steal, 8 for 16 shooting, a 3 3-pointers. Kobe White has been a bit disappointing this season, but he had 13, 4, and 6. But Lauri Markkanen is a bit of a story. He had 30, 5, and 2. It'd be nice if he had a few more games like this, wouldn't it? He's a bit underwhelming with the consistency, but he does have the ability to go off because he had 6 for 12 from deep on 11 for 18 shooting.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Yeah, Lowry is inconsistent, but we've seen him crack even, I think, top 30 in the past. So you got to like it. He's at 43 right now on a per-game basis. He's got room to go up. I think he will. I think he's a good guy. If the durability is the biggest issue with him, but I think skills-wise and production-wise, if you ride him, you're gonna like what you get as long as he stays on the court.
Mm. Yes, indeed, you will like it very much. The next game on the slate was the Portland Trailblazers up against the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks gave them a flogging. It was 134-106. You're probably going to see some games like this every now and then with Portland, just with having so many guys out. When they're really pumped up and they're playing against teams that might not be that fantastic, they're going to win some games. When they come up against good games, good teams, and especially on back-to-backs like this, they're probably going to struggle. This was a blowout. So there's some kind of unusual lines mixed into it. Like, for example, Nasir Little, who got a spot start and had 18 shots on huge usage. He had 36-1 with one steal and two blocks. You're not adding Nasir Little, are you?
I'm not, no. And I think with the Blazers right now, we're going to see a few random guys pop up with big games until McCollum comes back. But if you look at the previous four games for Little, he had a combined 9 points. So this game is a one-off. You know, don't read too much into it.
Yeah, and just a quick read on a few other things there. Lillard only played 27 minutes. That's well under his numbers, but he still managed to have 17, 3, and 7 with a steal and a block and two threes. He just keeps chugging along. Rob Covington continued to be just putrid from the field, ranker than septic, as I say. He was 2 for 9. He had 5 points, 8 rebounds, but he did have 2 assists and 2 steals. Cantor managed a double-double in his 25 minutes. And Simons had 15, 3, and 5. He's another one maybe you consider streaming. He and Trent are the two streamers, although Trent shows what he can do, which is stink up your field goal percentage on one night and then go off the next. Because in his 29 minutes, he was just 3 of 13 from the field, and he only had 8 points, which you do not like. For the Milwaukee Bucks, Giannis had 18, 4, and 6. He was 2 of 3 from the foul line. You like the fact he only had 3 foul shots if you've got him.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a bonus, isn't it? Middleton had 17, 5, and 9 with 2 steals. He's continuing to have a really good season. Jrue Holiday had 22, 7, 6, and 3 steals. Again, he's having a strong season too. The guy I want to ask you about was two. Bobby Portis had 21, 8, 2, and 2. I had him, I think, in a couple of places. I resisted getting him anywhere. I dropped him. But what are we doing with Bobby? Is he just a streamer too? If he's available on your wire and you don't cry into your beer if someone else gets him?
I would add him. I think he's. I wouldn't cry into my beer, but I think I'd add him if he's there, especially if you need a big guy. And I would hold him. I mean, he's been around top 100 this season. Looks like he's, you know, solidified in that role. He has some, you know, games where he doesn't perform much, but I hold him as a low-end big.
Would you add him over a Crowder type?
Yes.
Okay, that's good to know. I'm just seeing, is he available in Dan's Roto League? I don't think he is. I've got to add someone to drop Crowder. Would you add any of these guys? Diallo, Mills, Garrison Matthews, Simons, Josh Jackson, Josh Hart, any of those you would add over Crowder?
Mills, I think I would add.
Yeah, and I got some good value out of him earlier in the season too. He's been 75 on the season, and he's been shooting with good percentages as well. The other one to ask about is Dante DiVincenzo. He's outside the top 250 in the last week, and outside the top 200 in the last fortnight, outside the top 150 in the last month.
I have him, and I'm holding him. But if you drop him, I get why. I just think it's a rough shooting stretch, and he'll get it fixed, and he'll be more productive. Plus, The Bucks have been in so many blowouts that his minutes are artificially low, I think. So I think he's a hold. And I think if someone drops him, I'd be willing to add him over Crowder, over Portis, over Malik Monk, over a lot of other guys.
All right, that's good to know. The Sacramento Kings won the next game on the slate. They beat the New Orleans Pelicans 118 to 109 points. And this any game with the Kings is kind of exciting to watch. I think I'm not sure how much of that is driven by fantasy and how much of it is driven by, well, Sacramento used to be exciting back in the early 2000s when I was sort of, I don't know, in one of the periods of my intense NBA fandom, and I really hated the Lakers so much, and I wanted them to beat the Lakers in that famous early 2000s series with Chris Webber, where the referees basically cheated for Kobe, RIP, of course, to win that series. I've always had a soft spot for them, and they have amazing wild fans and stuff. But most importantly for me right now, I have Rashawn Holmes in a lot of leagues, and he had 17, 10, and 3 with 6 blocks.
I love it. I have a lot of Rashawn Holmes, too. Loving it. He's killing it, and he's paying big dividends. Let me also just say that I was a Lakers fan, and that Lakers-Kings was also more or less at my peak of fandom as well. So I really enjoyed those games, and I really enjoyed that Robert Horry 3 is probably the best single moment from the entire Lakers three-peat run. So let's just say, as a Lakers fan, you know, we love it.
I think I actually smashed up my coffee table watching the game where you guys ended up getting like 21 foul shots to like one or something in the fourth quarter.
Refereed by Tim Donaghy. Yeah.
I think, oh yeah, that was bad. That was bad stuff. What is not bad? By the way, I voted Holmes into my all-star team in the West before LeBron. That was, and the reason I did that is because he had 6 blocks in a game, including 4 where he was already on 5 fouls. That's all-star for me, and especially the value that he provided where he was drafted. He's inside the top 3 rounds of value this season, and he was going around about pick 50 to 60 in most leagues, sometimes even later. Fox, 38, 4, and 12 on 14 for 24 shooting. You're a bit of a Fox fan, aren't you?
I like Fox. I think that the free throw percentages would drag him down, but I like him as a player, and I like him to move up. So I think if someone is still willing to sell low, I'd grab him if I could.
Yeah, and he amazingly was 7 of 7 from the foul line today. Get yourself a lottery ticket. Harrison Barnes had 24, 8, and 4 with 1 steal and 1 block. He's providing sneaky sort of like top 80 value on the season from very late on. Bagley fouled out, and he wasn't great either. 5 for 12, 10, 4, and 1. Dan is being slandering him over on Twitter. Shout out to my mate Mike from Vietnam, who said it's not slander if people are telling the truth. He's not very good. Tyrese Halliburton had 5, 11, 6 assists and a steal, though, even though he only had 2 for 7 from the field, provides value. Whiteside went back to just 14 minutes, and he was 5 and 6 with no blocks. And I'll be dropping him. I grabbed him in a couple of places just in case, because I think I might have been drunk. For the Pelicans, Ingram had 25 and 2 with a steal. Lonzo Ball, he's been good since he came back, certainly in terms of fantasy anyway. He had 14, 2, and 5 with 3 steals. You'll love to see that. Zion had 17, 8, 2 assists and 2 steals for Zion. 6 for 13 from the field, unlike him for the field goal percentage to be down. But that's Rashawn Holmes' defense in the interior, isn't it?
Oh, man, Holmes is playing really well. And he had a great game. So I think that's the third time this season he had 6 blocks. Yeah. He's having a career season, and let's hope he stays healthy and keeps it going.
Josh Hart had 15 and 13 with 4 assists and 2 steals here. He's another one of these kind of frustrating guys who you grab and then they do nothing, and then you let him go, and then they have a game like this.
Yeah, and Hart, you know, kind of contributes across the board to some degree. So when you drop him, he can pop off for threes, blocks, steals, assists, rebound, right? The whole package. So It is frustrating with him. He's inconsistent, and they've got a number of guys ahead of him in the pecking order. So he's not going to have any consistency as long as the team is healthy.
And the next game on the slate was the Houston Rockets, who are actually quite good. I don't know if you've seen much Houston basketball. Is it of late? They won 136-106 over OKC. Is it an exaggeration to call that a big three with John Wall and Oladipo and Christian Wood? It's certainly a fantasy big three.
It's a gross exaggeration to call them a big three. if the other big threes we're talking about are, you know, Magic, Kareem, and James Worthy, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, and Michael Jordan, we're talking LeBron, Bosh, Wade, right? Those, Larry Bird, right? Those big threes.
Oh, come on. Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of it.
Yeah, unless you want to call them a big three like the Sacramento Kings.
No. What about the Celtics? What about like Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Kemba or something like that?
You know, I think they at least, even they don't belong. See, they're the big three like Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, and a Doug Christie or whoever the third player was. Peja Stojakovic, yeah, right? Whoever you want to say that.
It was Bibby. Wasn't it Mike Bibby was there
Mike
for a while?
Bibby, Mike Bibby I like too, by the way. He was a good player. Yeah. But you know, these guys they're not bad, and they could be a great team. They could be a good core. If they can stay healthy, there is some potential there. But you know, they got to get a little bit better to be a big three.
Fair enough. Let's have a look at their lines though, because like I said, it's a fantasy big three if you think about it, especially depending on where you drafted them. I think when you look at fantasy, you know, I don't need Christian Wood to give first round value for me to consider him to be just like a fantastic pickup. He only had 26 minutes, but he had 18-11 with an assist and a steal and two blocks. He had 2 3-pointers as well on 8-for-13 shooting. Just beautiful lines from him. They just keep coming. Oladipo had 15 3-7 on some not great shooting. And I talked about this before. He's like, over the last three seasons, he's been shooting around 40% on average, just below or just under. The other guy is John Wall, of course, and he had 18-6-5 with 2 steals, which was nice to see. Eric Gordon had 25 points on 5 3-pointers. He's going to sort of like combine these stretches where he has like 2 good games and 3 crappy games, but he remains a good 3-point streamer type in that sort of like Joe Harris mold, although Harris does provide a few peripherals. For the Thunder, this they got flogged here, so it's a bit hard to read too much into all of this. The minutes were spread out. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 19, 2, and 5. Malindon had 11 and a rebound and an assist, 11 points and a rebound and assist and 2 steals. Al Horford is back and he had 12, 7, 3, and 2. Lou Dort did not do very much, and Baisley had 15 and 6. Baisley, now this is the one I wanted to ask about here. Is he a season-long hold?
He's a guy you can reach for, but he has been very inconsistent this year, and you can try your luck with him. I'm not running out to grab him, but if he's available on your wire and you just have a dead spot at the end of your roster, you can try him. But there's got to be better options.
Yes. Okay. That's good to know. I've dropped him in a few and I've kept him in a couple just because he's one of those late round guys that you think's going to be a steal and you sort of want to be stubborn and hang on a bit, but I should let him go. If I'm going to drop Dante DiVincenzo in a couple of spots, then I should drop him too. Does that sound about right?
Yes. If you're going to drop Dante, you should drop him, but I would hold Dante.
There you go. The next game was the Phoenix Suns up against the Dallas Mavericks, and the Suns won by 1 point on basically a buzzer beater by Devin Booker. Nice to see Booker back. He had 24-1 with no assists, though. Continues to not get assists in the Chris Paul era. Chris Paul had 34-9-9 on 2 steals. That gets me excited because I've got him in one of my main leagues. Mikal Bridges had 10-4-3 with a steal and a block. Now, Cam Johnson versus Jay Crowder. Johnson had 35 minutes, 10-5 with a steal. Crowder had just 15 minutes, 2-2. If you've picked up Crowder, he's a drop. And Johnson's probably not a pickup, is he?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. So not really much interest. Let's move on there and talk about Dallas. For the Dallas Mavericks, Doncic had 25, 5, and 8 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, 10 for 11 from the foul line. Weirdly, he was 7 for 19 from the field. This season, his foul shooting's fine, but his field goal percentage has become a big negative.
Yeah, it's funny. And I think they're still kind of, he's rounding into shape. His field goal percentage is not terrible on the season. It's, what, 46? So it's not awful, but I think there's going to be some, you know, room for uptick there and hopefully can iron out his free throws, although that may take another season or two.
Fair enough. The Zinger had 19 and 10 with an assist and a steal and 3 blocks. That's nice to see. Now, one of the reasons he can provide that sort of like up to third round value is because of the blocks and 3-pointers. 3 blocks and 3 3-pointers. You love that from your center, don't you?
Oh, love it, love it. He really is a fantasy unicorn, and if he's got it going, he's got a stat set unlike almost anyone else.
I'll tell you what's not bad. Not bad is having a good Valentine's Day because you have some Manscaped products. The Valentine's Day Lawnmower 3.0 package. That's what you need, fellas. Valentine's Day is upon us, and our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you you need to use the best tools for the job so you can be ready for anything on that special day. 2 million people are already using Manscaped products to groom, so you need to be one of them as well. Look, your girl might not know what she's going to get you for Valentine's Day this year, so just sort of maybe send her a link and say, hey, Manscaped. And the best way to get started is the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0, full of the best products to keep you looking, smelling, and feeling nice. So it comes with a pair of Manscaped boxers that keep your junk feeling fresh all day long. It's time to upgrade those overused pair of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. The Perfect Package 3.0 is led by the revolutionary third-generation Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer. Of course, you know all about that. It's great stuff. You can also complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped, the same signature scent that's in all Manscaped formulas. This cologne is the perfect complement to the collection. It's the perfect package for your perfect package, as they say. Now, when you support manscaped.com and you use the code HOOPBALL20, you're also supporting us. That's what keeps HoopBall going, our lovely sponsors. Of course, our premium subscribers help out quite a bit too, but you get 20% off and free shipping with the code HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Your balls and the people who love them will thank you. That's HOOPBALL20 at manscaped.com. Free shipping, of course. Now, the Mavs are another one of these messy teams where potentially there's a number of guys who have value, but they all seem to steal from each other from time to time. So here, Hardaway Jr. had 18 and 4 with two steals. He's a guy that really goes hot and cold. Josh Richardson, 24, 5 and 4 with 2 steals. This is the kind of ceiling this guy has. Like, he can easily be a top 75 player, but he just doesn't string it together, does he?
No, and it seems like his role is too inconsistent here. You know, he did have a couple years in Miami where he was top 75 two seasons in a row. So there's a lot there. You know, we've seen the upside when we've seen him be at least somewhat consistent. Looking at his stats now, I mean, he needs to basically kick up the points, which is possible. And then, you know, what else? Maybe get a little bit more assists. I don't know. I'd like him as an ad over someone like Jay Crowder.
Yeah. What about Dante? Would you drop Dante and add him? That's what I'm actually thinking of doing.
I actually have Dante, and I think I could drop him and add Josh Richardson. I'll probably be stubborn and hold Dante, but I wouldn't fault you for doing that. I think it's reasonable.
Well, the last game of the evening is in some ways probably the most exciting one because the Grizzlies won 133-102, smashed the Spurs, who were on a back-to-back, and they've got some old guys, and the Grizzlies, I guess, are a bit greedy to catch up with all the games they missed and kind of pound old man Spurs. Well, they're not really the old man Spurs anymore, are they? I'm just saying that because of LaMarcus Aldridge has been hurting me so much in Roto that it just has
not
been good.
Well, there's DeMar DeRozan as well, yeah. You know, there's some age.
So Memphis had, I'm looking here, it's 8 guys in double figures, including Deng, who had 19 and 9. Bane had 10, 3 and 1. Melton had 17, 7, 5, 2 steals and a block. I almost can't breathe because I picked him up in 5 leagues.
Wow.
It's not going to stick, is it? I mean, or is it?
Who, Melton?
Yeah.
I like him. You know, that's a huge game, but I like him. I think he's someone that was producing like top 75 value with small minutes last year. I like him. I hold him. I think he's worth holding.
So he's a guy. He had 26 minutes. There's an interesting one. The difference between him in 20 minutes and 26 minutes is what you can see here. Like in 20 minutes, he's like a sort of a 13, 5, and 3 with like, you know, a couple of steals and a block guy maybe, or like two steals and no blocks, or one of each or something, like averaging like 1.5 steals and a block. But here he has 26 minutes and he gets to 17, 7, and 5 with two steals and a block. He manages to get 14 shots off and he hit 5 3-pointers as well. That is like a top 30 value line today. If that was extrapolated over the whole season, that's a top 30 player. That's like a Jimmy Butler type line on a big, on a maybe a little bit lower on points, but those 5 threes are beautiful. Also beautiful is Brendan Clark getting 18, 6 and 2 with a steal and two blocks. We talked about him earlier in the season, just 22 minutes for Clarkie, and he's really picked it up, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been playing really well over the last 2 weeks. I was wrong to doubt him, and he's hot, and I think people are worried about Triple J coming back, but, you know, Clark's playing very well right now.
Of the other guys, Anderson had 17, 8, and 3. After being very quiet for a while, he seems to have picked his game up a little bit. But, of course, all of this big man stuff is a bit influenced by Jonas Valanciunas being out. So we imagine when he comes back, there's a few less minutes at power forward for Kyle Anderson, isn't there, because maybe Clark slides over there and Valanciunas has to come into it. So how does everybody fit, or does Tillman just drop out?
Well, like you said, I think Tillman drops out, and everyone else gets a little bit less. So Jang is going to be dropping out too. So there's going to be a lot of people's values going to go down when Jonas comes back. But for now, it looks like the wealth is being spread around.
A lucky last for the Reed tonight, Keldon Johnson for the San Antonio Spurs. He's been really good, hasn't he? Like he sort of has two really good games, one or two good games, and one dud per five, which you can't complain for a sophomore who had an injury as well through the offseason. 25, 10, and 3 with a steal and a block, 7 for 16 shooting, 3 3-pointers, and a perfect 8 for 8 from the foul line.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's been top 80 this year so far. Doesn't look like that's going to slow down either. So if you picked him up as a free agent this year, he's going to be one of the best pickups.
Yeah, Aldridge, my man. Yeah, just 18 minutes, 12 and 1 with one steal and one block and two threes. That's okay given how bad he was earlier in the season, but he's probably my worst draft pick, I would say, in terms of where I drafted him. If you factor out Nurkic, Nurkic got injured, so that sort of covers up the mistake of drafting him.
Right.
What was the worst pick? Nurkic early in the third round or Aldridge late fourth, early fifth?
I mean, Nurkic has done nothing so far, but I also drafted him. I think he'll be back, and I'm hoping he's going to be productive. I think that when we drafted him so early, though, we overlooked. He has a pretty extensive injury history, and I think we just glossed over it. And we should have been more careful about that. Aldridge, you know, we joke that he's old man Aldridge, but he's 35. I'm 34. You know, so, you know, I always notice that they're talking about someone like they're so old. This is his 15th year in the league, and I'm like, this guy's 32. He's 2 years younger than
weird,
me. You know?
It's weird, isn't it? Well, wait, till you. I'm older than a few coaches in the NBA, so there you go. We won't get into that. Millsy had 11 and 2 with 3 3-pointers, which is what he's there to get for you. DeJounte Murray had a quieter night. He had just 2 for 9 shooting at 6, 5, and 4, but he's been red hot of late. And shout out to Jakob Poeltl, who's your block streamer, one of the top block streamers around because he's always available. He had 6, 6, and 2 with 2 blocks. That is it for tonight. Hank, thank you for joining us on Monday evening. God, I'll get it right in a moment, to go through the lines with us. And we look forward to seeing you again next Monday, mate.
I'm looking forward to being here.
Good on you. Take care and keep on rocking.
All right. I'll see you next week.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.